got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up.
Hello, Stars fans from far and wide. This is former forward AJ McLean coming at you, and you're listening to A View from Section C.
A View from Section C is sponsored by Don Michele, Italian restaurant, Perth Road, Dundee.
Oh, and welcome on to episode 102. Of the Don McKayley sponsored A View from Section C. Senior, how are you?
I'm all right, Junior.
Yeah. That good?
Busy. Going up to Christmas. Yeah.
It was just a... Yeah. All right, Junior. Thank you.
Yeah. That's it. Well, getting busy as fuck in the work. Busy as fuck in the house trying to organise Christmas.
Wait. What do you mean, organised Christmas?
Well, are the gifts and that?
Okay, I'll give you that. It's just basically organising Christmas. Like, you're doing fuck all on Christmas. You're coming to us and sitting your feet up and eating food.
I'll fucking take that then. I'll take that. So don't. Remember now, when I come down, I'm not expecting you, oh, could you do this? No, I'm just sitting here eating food. All day.
Well, I'm not going to be dead on Christmas Day either. Yeah. Shannon, hey, I'm ready. We'll just sit here a couple of drinks.
The only thing that's spoiling life at the moment is the fucking ice hockey.
We'll get to that. We will get to that. Other than that,
Can we not just skim over the ice hockey and just sit here and blare?
Sit here and blare for an hour. Oh dear. Listen, I'm going to change it up this week. I'm not starting with two-way watch. Two-way watch is going to come at the end of the show this week. I'm going to comment on this day first. Because I've got an agenda behind it. So that's why.
Okay.
So we'll start off with the Slowing World of Stella sponsored on this day. So 18th of December, on this day, born in 1982, it was one of my favourite players from this season, second Elite League season senior, Jarrett Conkle.
Yeah, good, decent player. Can't mind the vibes. Did I get a jersey? Did I get a Conkle?
Sure you did. I'm sure it's in the loft with your Riley Wetmore top.
I've not got a Riley. Kim, what I'll tell you, if I've got a Riley Wetmore top, I'll be getting sell because people are looking for jerseys with CNAs on them. So, no, the shop CNAs.
I was going to say, they shopped a year ago.
Like, how I got myself. A wee dad joke in there.
On this day,
Jarrett Conkle.
Yeah. 2016, we had a home league win versus the Edinburgh Capitals by 10 goals to 3. Now, I ken what you're thinking. That must have been when Edinburgh started losing all their players. It was not. They had a lot of their big-name players. Dobrom was still there. Was it the boy Vibroyev? I think his name was.
Yeah.
One of the Grigors. The boy's... what name is it? Jared Stoll was still there at the time. They're a full roster near enough. Mr. Floyd was in that team. So won by 10 goals to 3. Goals by Kevin Hart, Cameron McGiffin. Love that. Justin Farina, Mikael Leithammer, Ben Edmonds, Craig Moore, and 4 goals by Kevin Broyston.
Oh, what a player.
He wasn't the flashiest of players, but he knew where to put the fucking puck.
Broyson was really good. Was that... Now, you're saying Mr. Plews was playing. I take it your junior Plews was playing.
Obviously.
Right?
Yeah.
Was that not the night that Farina was fighting?
No, we lost that game and Farina was fighting, I'm sure.
Was it Sean Beattie he was fighting?
No, yes. Yes, it was. Yeah. But that was the game that Edinburgh had to play Kevin Forshaw and had no backup because right. both of their goalies were injured.
So that's why
we usually struggle backups and third backups, and so good to see what we won on that day. On this day in 2022, we had a home league loss to the Sheffield Steelers by 5-2.
No way the Sheffield scored 5 against us in Dundee.
Our goals are scored by Ben Soke and Elijah Barriga. And the only other thing on this day is we had two leavers in 2017. Two boys on the same day. Thankfully, Taylor Dickin left. And on this day, a year to the day that he scored against the Edinburgh Capitals, Cam McGiffin left. And we were devastated. Absolutely devastated.
And he's never looked back.
So it brings us on to our 51 club sponsored game reviews. Before we do that, a big shout out to Mr. McGiffin himself on celebrating 6 years with the business this week. I was in yesterday, as you can see, getting my wee Christmas haircut. And, six years he's had the business now. So, left, started his own business, absolutely rocking it. So, well done to
McGiffin. I remember him shaving my head in the kitchen. True story.
Yep. So, yes. That is on this day. Before we touch on this game reviews, senior, couple of little shout-outs. First off, BM, this man, 300 Elite League games for the club, and number 11, Chris Ingalls. Senior, some feat for the lad, yeah?
300 games, right? And he's still a bairn.
I think he would disagree with you being a bairn.
Well, compared to me, he's a bairn. But it really does go to show that. And you know what? It could have been a lot more if it hadn't been for injuries. So because he's missed a few games because of injury. But yeah, come on, he's been at the club for he was a real bairn up until now. He's just a big bairn. But yeah, thoroughly deserved. I don't know how he'll think his season's going. He'll look at it and think, well, we're sitting in ninth place, so it's not going very well. But Cam, he's a stalwart, is he? But we've always said that the club needs guys like that. You do need homegrown players because look at the situation at Fife's in. Without Brits, never mind homegrown players, but without Brits. And we've got homegrown players that we rely on, and we potentially would have struggled if guys like Chris and Craig Garrigan didn't sign. Cowney back in the day. Are these guys? You need them. You need these guys, eh? And I always thought that a couple of seasons ago when before Chris got the sort of the biggest, I think it was his biggest thing when he done his knee, that I think at that point, before that, he was probably playing the best hockey of his career and he could have potentially got a move out of that. But he decided to stay. And I'm delighted that he has stayed. I think we need him, eh? And I think he's grew in stature. I could see, same as you, listen, we read social media. Chris will read social media, right? But he'll just put it to the back, right? Every player does. They'll read it and they'll just fucking bin it. I really care what people say about Chris Ingalls and Ben O'Connor. whether they should be playing together, whether they shouldn't be playing together. But I'll guarantee you, Chris Ingles has learned a lot from Ben O'Connor this season.
Yeah.
And you might find that Ben O'Connor has maybe took him sort of aside and sort of helped him that wee bit further. I'd like to think that. But 300 games, eh? Brilliant. And hopefully a lot more to come.
Yeah. Absolutely. You say we've watched them right through the junior setup. We've seen them play at the underage groups, then seen them play in the SNL with the Comets, then seen them playing on the Monday night Ice Tops tournament before he was an Elite League regular name.
Yeah.
And now, you know, 300 games for his boyhood club.
And it's, you know what, it's credit to the coaches that have brought him along, eh? They gave him a chance when he was young, and he's repaid them, and he's repaid the club every year since that by continually signing. I think we need guys like that, like a Chris, like a Garrigan. I'm not going to say Moorsey, because Moorsey's a fifer, but even back, going back further, JD, guys like that, Sam McCluskey, the club needed players like that, because what they do is they bring in the local element that the fans want, and fans will come when it's a lot of local laddies. And as you say, local guys that we've all been brought up watching say they were kids.
Yeah.
So, great effort. No,
definitely. And then before we go into the games as well, was the return of this man, Mr. Nass, back.
Well, that's you spoiled the good, the bad and the ugly then, eh?
Well, listen, you've got to talk about it before the games, do we? Going to hate to speak about again. Speak about him anyway. So, Spencer Nass,
what a signing.
Back what again. A signing. I listened to his interview today. Very briefly, skipped through some of it whilst sitting at work, showing just how delighted he is to be back at the club. And he did say that, you know, when you know the fans and the way in which they support you, the way the wards treat them, the way the wards treat players at the club, wanted them back, the way Mark wanted them back and treated them last year, it was kind of a no-brainer for him to come back. But good to have him back.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And you know what? Even on Sunday at the home game, and Puglio, in my opinion, quite rightly got man of the match. Right, I'm no caring what anybody says. I thought he was the best D-man we had there. It was like Spencer hadn't been away. He just came back and went about his business again. I do think he needs a Ryan Valentini type of player with him, though. That's the only thing. And I think we'll see. I got a message from Connor and Billy there that there's photographs up for training today. And it looks like the lines are changed again. There must be trying something. But it could be that they're trying to get somebody to get Spencer really going like what he did last year. Or for Spencer to get somebody going like what he did with Ryan Valentini.
Yeah.
But great signing. Something that we didn't think would have happened when he left. And as you see in his interview, Mark had went after a couple of times. Couldn't get him, and then he went back again and probably just got him right at the right moment, and he signed. It'd been good. Like, his last game was against Kevin Carr. It was just a pity that he never brought Kevin with him, but hey, well.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Mr. Chris Ingles, one of our own, on 300 games, and also a welcome back to Mr. Spencer Nass with his new song. So, Wednesday night, we were away to the Belfast Giants. Aja Briga put Giants 1-0 up after a minute 33. Gabe Yowie-Bast scored at 6:15 to make it 2. Purple goal by Mark Cooper, 7:56, made it 3. Pierre Olivier Morin at 8:42 on the power play. Stars pull one back through Jake Elmer, assisted by Johnny McBean and Kyle Pouncey, 11:38. JJ Pickenich, shorthanded at 14:30, 5-1 Belfast, end of the first, goalless second period. But then Cameron Pound at 47:29 and Ben Lake at 56:02, giving the Giants a 7-1 victory.
No good enough. No good enough. Embarrassing. Honestly, it is just not fucking good enough. And by the way, if Daisy's listening, right, this is the first 7-1, right? So the swearing started. By the time I get to the end of the game reviews, I'll just be swearing. You'd be lucky if you get normal words put in between them.
This is what he says. That's what your thoughts were after this one. Wait till we go to set up tonight.
It's just not good enough, Junior, eh? Like, I'm telling you, like, Belfast are on a run at the moment, okay? They have suddenly, a few weeks ago, I think if we beat them, I think we either went 1 point behind them or level on points. And it's someone like 11 or 12 points behind them now in a matter of weeks, right? No. And when we played them, we were in these games. We were close to them, and it was just that next step, you know, when the big teams just get away from you. And that's what I felt happened previously. But this game, by all accounts, were absolutely blown out the water. There was no fight. There was nothing. And that came for the coach. Right, and it is unacceptable. If you're going to get beat 7-1, at least go out fighting. Do something about it. But yeah, when it's the weakest player on the ice that's getting the roughing penalties for mixing it up, that sort of tells you something. On that night, that told you something. I kind of put my finger on it. We have never been a podcast that comes on here and slits individual players, but there's something no right when we're getting beat like that. And is it? I'm still no sure. I was in the goaltenders camp the other week. This week, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure.
I did point out last week in Junior's three players to watch, two of the three scored. Kawaguchi got in with the assist, but JG was shorthanded, but he got open in the score after just a minute and a half. And I'm like, fuck, okay. Okay, let's move on to Saturday then. We thought it was a one-off. We thought, okay, we'll just take the pump in. It's a bit better. Cameron, full team, full roster. Back for the Coventry game. I'll touch on it when we come back, but the healthy scratch was Xavier Pouliot, with both imports goalies being there. Coventry went 1-0 up through Alessio Luciani at 8:20. Cole McDonald had a farm, assisted by Harms and Nass at 12:38, tied the game, end of the first. Second period, and that's where it went all downhill for the Stars. Luciani with his second at 21:27. Next sights at 23:42 on the power play. Chase Gresick at 30:33. Zach Heinz at 38:20. Rounded off a 4-0 period for the Blaze. Kim Talberg made it 6 on the power play at 55:53. And then Terence Amorosa at 57:55. Gave Coventry a 7-1 win and a second consecutive defeat of 7-1 for the Stars.
Yeah.
So for me,
the first name was embarrassing. The second name is now fucking embarrassing. Right, because it is.
I'm pretty sure you said the first name is fucking embarrassing as well.
Nah, right, okay. Listen, you get off nights, right? And we could say then, okay, the Wednesday, they had an off night in Belfast. Right? Coventry are not that much better than us. They're not a 7-1 team better than us, that aren't they? Right? What they've got, though, is they've got, and I'm not going to say a top-class netminder, but they've got a very good netminder, the boy Matt Robson, right?
Yeah.
Now, he is a good netminder. to me, on this end, right, you go into Belfast, you start Saville, he gets pulled, and Jarrett goes in, and he finishes the game. You then go to Coventry, and we start Saville again.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm thinking, I'm no 100% sure that I agree with this. If it was me, I'd have started Fisk in Coventry. And then seeing how Jarrett got on in Coventry and then made the decision for the Cardiff game, who starts that game?
Yeah.
I think personally, that decision cost us that game. Because I'd seen someone on social media that Coventry had a goal that was given after review. And I think it was a company guy who said it on Twitter to me that when the goal had went in and it was under review, Fisk had put his helmet on and went onto the ice. The goal was given and then Fisk was asked to sit down again. And I think at that point, it must have been the game's done and I'm not putting him in. Samo's going to ride this out and we'll get another seven. I just, for the life of me, can't fathom out why we've done that.
Right. The thing for me, and I said it to you standing in the queue on Sunday, was if that was the case, right? Now, for me, the one of the most bizarre decisions in that game as well was to healthy scratch Pouliot to have your goalie as a backup. Now, I get Dom was playing with the Lynx there a game, but I'm sure there's probably another young British laddie that we'll have access to that could have sat on the bench. If we were going to play Saville that whole game, what was the point in taking Fisk? So you've got to remember, we've had travel on Wednesday to Belfast and back. We've then went to Coventry on the Saturday, probably an early-ish start, to then come back up the road again and get home maybe, what, 3 in the morning? Maybe a wee bit earlier about that? And then play Cardiff.
I'd maybe even say a wee bit later, but you're looking
Cardiff at home.
Between 2 and 5.
Yeah. Play Cardiff at home with an earlier face-off. I don't get the justification of taking Jarrett to all 3 games when we possibly he's going to start Saville. Fine, your decision as the coach. Take a young laddie, put him on the bench as the backup. Let Fisk stay in Dundee. Let him get a good night's sleep. Let him be fresh for Cardiff. Or as fresh as can be.
So I can understand taking the two of them to Belfast. Right, because we didn't have the full team at that point, so we take both goalies to Belfast. We had to leave somebody out, and I am 100% with you. One, it shouldn't have been Pouliot, and two, why take both import goalies? Right, if you sort of when the game got away from us, why didn't Fisk go in the goal then?
Yeah.
The plan must have been, I think, to let Saville ride it out and see what happens. Well, if that's the case, as you say, you would get access to a British goalie from someplace.
Yep.
And leave Jarrett in Dundee.
Yep.
Right. What they've then done is he's then went with 3 Brits in defence, with Chris, Craig, and Ben, we 3 imports. Now, defensively, we've been pish all year. Let's no sugarcoat it, right? As a team, this is not on the D-men, right?
The D
have struggled. And some of the interviews I've seen, Mark saying, we're too soft in D, we're not blocking out, we're making the wrong pass, stuff like that, right? Then why go with 3 Brits? And leave an import D-man out, right? On top of that, see when it started getting away from us, there's no really anybody in that team that's going to spark with a perfect pull-up.
Yeah.
So why do that, right?
Yeah.
a lot of strange decisions at the weekend. Certainly the Saturday game, I felt there was a lot of strange decisions. And I agree with what you say about the import situation with the goalies. You know, if you're Mark had the opportunity to put Jarrett back in again against Coventry, he probably didn't want to pull Sabo two nights in a row. So would you have ever pulled Sabo? If the answer is no, then why take Jarrett with him? Jarrett could have just stayed in Dundee. And then he could have been probably rested better. He wouldn't be sitting on a bus going down. He wouldn't be sitting on a bus going back. He wouldn't have had an uncomfortable sleep. He had a better sleep. He'd been in a right bed for a lot longer than on a bus and then into bed, stuff like that. It's an earlier face-off. Now, we've always argued about this. I didn't mind the 5 o'clock face-offs, right? I really didn't.
So it's because you can get to your bed earlier.
Exactly. Yeah, it's purely selfish. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you, if I was a player, I'd be well pissed off, honestly, that you've got the travel and then you're back up the road, sleeping on a bus, viewers keeping your bed, then you're up at the rink. Now, these guys will be at the rink 2:30 for a 5 o'clock face-off. You know? Yeah. Every team's got it, but for us, if they're getting pumped 7-1, I don't know what the thinking behind it was. I really don't know. I think both of those teams are 7-1 teams against us. I really don't know.
I will disagree with your point, though, in what you said that, you know, Coventry are a 7-1 team. I think Fife will disagree with you because they got pumped 7-1 the next night for them too.
But you're right. But you've got to think about it. We gave Fife 7.
Yeah.
Twice. Exactly. So when we're firing, we're good. That's the thing. We are a good team. And we should not be getting bit 7-1 for teams in this league because, and the game's no won on paper, right? It's no played on paper. It's played on ice, but we should be in amongst these teams. We shouldn't be where we are. We have got better players than what they're shown to be. And they need to show it soon or we will get, probably a bit like Fife, we will get cut adrift.
So, Senior, you did say 5-1 Belfast. I went 6-2. And you did say 4-2 Blaze, and I went 4-1 Blaze. So at least we were correct in which team we're going to win for once.
Yeah.
Then we came back up the road Sunday night at home to the Cardiff Devils and Pete Russell and his old nurse's shoes again. Stars got off to a quick start at 2:51 through Zach Sekos, sponsored by Nails by Stacey, XO. Andy McCartney always forgets the XO in that. Assisted by Spencer Nass and Kyle Pouncey. Josh McDonald equalised for the Devils at 3:08. What's his name? Can't see that. Colin Olszewski.
Olszewski.
5:16, made it 2-1 Cardiff. Stars responded to that with a goal through Philippe Saunch, assisted by Dryden Dow at 7:12. Brett Parolini at 15:56, and then a power play goal by Josh McDonald at 18:35, made it 4-2 Cardiff, end of the first. Goalless second period, was a goalless third up until the empty net at 59:19 when it was that wee dick. I'm not even going to mention his name. Because he's a very small, angry man.
Yeah, he's a wee buck. But the
I think Bucky will agree with you there.
I know. up until 2-0, I thought we started well. I really did. I thought we played well. The car, 17 seconds after you score, then they tipping in. And it was a good tip, by the way, right? It was. We were, I was right behind the guy. The guy shoots it, and the stick goes down, and it deflects up.
Taylor put your stick in.
Could he have done better? I don't think he could. But we were there or thereabout, and then the game just got away from us for some reason, and I don't know what it was. And then the second period, it was 0-0. See, to be honest with you, Junior, it wasn't that after when they went to 3-2, the game just sort of went in a lull. The game just went flat, I thought. You know? I don't think there was that much. There was a wee bit of a skirmish. And you know what? I think I said it to you. That was the worst. It was the worst thing that Riley Brandt did, because you got the crowd riled up again because there was a lull. And Brandt thought, well, I'll go and pick out Alex Robert and I'll try and start a fight with him. But see, at that point, I was itching for Pouliot to go and just give him a fucking hammer, an absolute hammer, or a shift after that, or an hour shift after that. But listen, there's no going to be a lot of boys in this league who'll go with Pouliot. Doesn't matter how much he goads them, right?
Yeah.
And believe it or not, Cardiff Devils, for as much as shite bags that Brandt is and other boys think they're tough guys, they will not go with Pouliot.
No.
But they're willing to go with other guys. So sometimes I think Pouliot has to go and date his cell. And we were speaking about it at the game. All of a sudden, it was getting a bit chirpy near the end again. And then Pouliot gets sat down.
Yeah, I think it was the last he comes 6 minutes.
On. Yeah, he then comes on when we're on the penalty kill. When it's probably like, he's probably thinking, I can't do anything here. Cannot do a thing here. My hands are
dead. He went off. I don't think he touched the ice for about 6.5 minutes left. And then his first shift back was 33 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
Where he can't, I remember looking at it going, why?
Again, some strange decisions for me. Absolutely horrendous sort of weekend, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
absolutely shocking.
I do want to bring up Team Stripes again this week. I know we're always for Team Stripes here, but I would like to question the Mr. Pavel Halas on this one. So a guy sticks his arse out, pucks away from the boy, hits him. Ferguson's calling an interference penalty. Rightfully so. Mr. Halas then decides to throw in an embellishment call. Listen, if you're going in at the speed that Jake Elmer skating down that wing at, and you're on one leg to go round the boy, of course you're going to fucking fall.
Yeah.
It's not embellishment. There's no theatrics. Does it look like there's less contact than there's actually made? Yes. But it's because of the speed that he's going at on one skate going round the boy. There's contact. Yeah. It's interference. It's no fucking diving.
It's not a dive. It's definitely not a dive.
It's 2 weeks in a row now that we're sitting here talking about a shite embellishment call, because someone's skating one way and he's been hit to the side or pulled back and they've naturally fell with the speed that they're at.
Yeah. I agree with you. And then actually, they called kneeing.
Was it kneeing they called?
They called the penalty as kneeing. Yeah.
I thought it was the hip, but it might have been the leg. It might have been with the knee.
Yeah. But then, I'll be honest with you, if it is kneeing, it makes it the embellishment call worse.
Yeah.
Because
it's going to be near.
He's deliberately it's just like tripping somebody up. If somebody trips you up, you're going to fall down. Right? Let's be honest. Right? Or at least you're going to stumble. Yeah. I think there was an air call due, or a non-call where I think it was a Devils player. They were looking for the tripping call, or something like that. Can't mind. And it didn't come. But they get now their guy definitely dived.
Yeah.
Looking for the penalty. So, yeah, you're not going to call the penalty for tripping or whatever it was, but you still call the embellishment because you are trying, you're dying to try and get a penalty. It was a shite call, but you know what?
And the one thing that we spoke about last week as well, and we saw it within the first 5 minutes of the game, was Cardiff centreman complaining about the Lionel's face-offs.
Yeah.
5 minutes in, and they started it. And it happened a lot. Thankfully, it wasn't Connors on the game. But I do believe, and I was going to wait till two-way watch, but I'm not going to wait till two-way watch. I do believe Connors had the Aberdeen Rockets game at the weekend, and seemingly he was absolutely pish as the referee as well. The Rockets had a back-to-back-to-back penalty kill. 6 consecutive minutes of penalty kill. Guy's clueless. The guy's too old for it now. He's like a fucking dinosaur out there.
People, come on, we'll probably get slated, right? Because we've said that about team stripes. Nah, that's right. And people will say, but you've no games without officials. And my response to that is always, you've no games without players. Right? Doesn't matter. There's no games without players. They can't referee a game if there's no players. So it's a balancing act, right? But there is, I think it's crept in this season. Certainly in Scotland, right? And listen, we hear a bit of banter with the coaches, right? And it gets to the stage now.
Good banter with Pete on Sunday.
Yeah.
Had a good time with
Pete. And again, like, we had a wee bit of banter about the Celtic and Rangers game. And Pete. he's obviously of the orange persuasion to match his hair, right? But he took it in good jest. You know what? It's getting to the stage now where the banter we away coaches is now leading to like near enough a conversation about the officials.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're the same, right? If you shout down at them, think yourself lucky you guys have not got them every week, and they're like, oh yeah, you're right enough. Good point. Yeah, that says it all.
The thing is, I generally don't mind Pavel. I don't think he's a bad ref. I just think he has some absolutely brain fart calls at times. It's just like, oh, I've seen that, I'm going to call that. It doesn't sit with the criteria that they've set. It's just like the criteria is a bit wavy throughout the game, and that's what pisses everyone off.
Yeah. Think back to when Finnerty was coaching, right? He's back coaching again, at Manchester.
I'm really hoping he's still here in a few weeks and we're in Manchester.
Yeah. But think back to when Ryan Finnerty always complained about the Scottish referees. And we would be like, oh, shut up. You're just fucking griping because you're getting better, whatever. We get nothing up in Dundee with these referees. And you think, it's probably got a valid point here, right? That the referees know that we get favouritism, but he's maybe got a valid point by saying they're not very good up here, instead of saying that the favour Dundee.
No, and look at over the years, you look at guys like that we've been like, oh, he's fucking shit. Rab Cowan, Neil Wilson, Murray Hansen, and to be fair, what I do, I have one of them back right now. Instead of some of the garbage that we get.
Drew Fraser.
Well, I did ask Drew at the weekend when he was going back on the lines, when he misheard us shouting down at somebody. But less said the better on that one, Drew? Senior, it was a 5-2 loss. It was a 0-point week. Your man of the match for the Cardiff game?
Brilliant.
Yeah, I went with it as well. Could only have been, I think he was the only boy that showed a bit of heart and a bit of desire throughout the whole game. The first period, we were all in it, but then after that, we kind of fell away.
I thought, Spence, after Poole, I thought Spencer Nash was probably the best player that we had, right? Yeah. Being honest with you. And it's maybe a good thing. The guys that are there, right, they'll hit up their game, right? They now see the way, like even the way Sanchez came back. Okay, the last couple of games, he's maybe been a wee bit quiet. But when he came in, points were up. There's Spencer played two games, 2 points, right? And was in and around nearly everything. And I'd like to think that him coming in, now we've got a full week of training this week, that these guys will suddenly think, yeah, this guy's a football player. We need to fucking up the ante here, eh?
But listen, I said it on Sunday. The line change again, though. I know you've said that training lines have changed again, but he took Sanch off that line with Yama and the boss, Gravel. Those two were non-existent. But you seen them, they were trying, but those two were non-existent on Sunday without Sanch being on that line with them.
Yeah.
You then look at... I honestly think the line should be the three players for last season of Nas, Harms and Elmer. I think we should go with... I think Elmer could be a similar kind of player to what Valentini was. You know, that coming down the wing, fast pace. Nas could be up there with him, just waiting on it. Harmsy, the gritty wee shit that he is with Nas again.
Yep.
Elmer could be that Valentini. I'm not saying Elmer's just maybe as good as Valentini, but it's that...
No, I know what you're saying, and I would agree with you. And I would go with that three, and then I'd also go with Sanch, Yama, and Gravel. Right? And then you're then in the realms of Kylie, Robert,
Alberga.
What else is it?
Alberga.
Garrigan. McBean. Sekos. Now, the problem is with Sekos is a fucking player, right?
Yeah.
And for me, if somebody think we've got too many centres now.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Because, or they might just say the four. Which maybe upsets the apple cart, because then you're probably looking at putting Sekos we Nas. Then is it, do you put Elmer there? And is it Harms that has to come down, you know? But I'll be interested to see what the lines are this weekend, because, as I say, the lads were saying that it looks like they've all got different colour jerseys on again, and the lines are going to be different this weekend as well. So,
yeah.
But say we somebody like a Kylie, right? And I know he's coming back for injury, right? Kylie has to be playing the first or second line, right? Kylie's no a grinding type of centre.
Mm-hmm.
Alberga can be. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. And it was also, again, what, just touching on the Cardiff game, just near the end, right, when we were chasing the game, I can't remember, but we ended up, I think we were on the penalty kill, and we ended up playing Alberga as a D-man.
Yes. Yep. I'm glad you mentioned it. That was one of the issues I had, that when Pouliot was benched, because he didn't play that on that penalty kill, when we got the penalty in the last, 3 minutes or something, 4 minutes to go, he didn't play him. He'd sat him for the 6 minutes and then brought him on with 33 seconds. You're now playing a forward as a D-man. You've got a D-man, an import D-man sitting on the fucking bench. You've still got British D-men sitting on the bench.
Yeah, and I know that they could say, hey, well, we were chasing the game, but,
Senior, can we move on?
Yeah.
I'm fed up speaking about this. I've got a Christmas jumper on. I'm trying to stay happy.
Well, we're shite. That's it. Simple.
Right. Okay. Well, we know what I think. I know what your bad's going to be, but. Time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, you know what the good is, right? The good was the re-signing of Spencer Mas. It probably come out of Naples. There was loads of rumours that we were in for ex-players. Could it be Nas? Could it be Valentini? Could it possibly be Kevin Carr? Who knows? And lo and behold, it was the top man himself. It was Spencer Mas. Big buzz when he came out on the ice. And we started the game well. And I think the thing we Spencer really rolled in and then the game disappeared. But the good is Spencer Mas is back. The bad, since the first game in November, we are now at 3 wins out of 12. 25% win rate. Right? I don't know if you've seen my conversation with a guy on Facebook, right? Overall, we're sitting at 31%, right? But for the first weekend in November, we're sitting at 25%. Jeff Mason's win rate was 28%. Right? We're in that realm, right, of Jeff Mason's win rate. And you look at that team compared to this team. This team should not be any place near that. No place near it. But we are. And that's the bad about it. And the ugly is the league table. It's fucking brutal. It is just, we have went in free fall. And there it is. That's my good, my bad, the ugly. And you can now talk us through the league standings.
Yeah, so the good news is Fife's still bottom. If it's any consolation to anyone at all. 6 points through 19 games. Stars, joint 9th, 8th with Manchester, both on 13 points. Manchester have only played 18 games, where Stars have played 21. Glasgow up to 7th with 16 points through 19. Nottingham, 23 points through 19. Guildford in 5th now, 23 points through 20. Sheffield in 4th, 24 points through 19 games. Coventry Blaze still up there in 3rd, 25 points through 18. Belfast up to 2nd, 26 points through 18 games. And Cardiff still sitting nice at the top for them with 32 points through 21 games. Senior, can I actually add on to your ugly?
Yeah.
I actually think that the ugly is that we've conceded 19 goals in 3 games. That was my ugly thing. Me and McGiff were actually speaking about it yesterday. And I did. You know what? It's not until you actually look back and add it up, you go, fucking hell, is it? It's 19, huh? Jesus. But anyway, right, yeah. Moving on.
But again, looking at the league table, right, it's 91 conceded in, how many games did you say we played? 21. That's getting close to 5 goals against a game now. Which means we need to score 6 every game to win.
But yeah. Yeah.
You never
know. Yes. So checking the ring there, the fucking cats are going mental there. Absolutely mental. It's more fighting them than some of the fucking team just now. Anyway. It is Liamine's tattoo sponsored game previews. So we do have a home and home with the Paisley, Pishy Wishy, South Lanarkshire, North Lanarkshire, Airdrie, Cumbernauld, Brayhead, Glasgow, Clan at the weekend. Away game on Saturday is confirmed. It's on after a ice plant failure.
How long will it last? That's the question.
Seemingly it's completely fine now. But you know what? It's quite funny though, right? And it's got nothing to do with it. But is it not very funny that it's exactly the spots where the big fucking fire things sit when they come out onto the ice? It's right in the middle of that. Like, It's fucking surrounded by it. No wonder it's fucking melting. Anyway,
small club.
Anyway, Saturday night away to them, Sunday night at home. Again, we've got a choice to make of full roster. Who do you sit? Do you play? Do you just have your one import goalie? Let him ride out the game. If he's shit, he's shit. Do we sit? You know, for a fact, it's going to be Pulley up. Or do you sit Alex Robert, being the import, the most recent, but I say the most recent import, but probably the import who's sitting on the fourth line just now. Do you sit him?
What I would do is, I don't know what the SNL fixtures are this weekend, right? If it was me, I'd be starting Jarrett. And if Aberdeen are not playing, I'd have Jagler on the bench. And I would sit Sabol out, and I would then play the full quota of import skaters. That's what I would do.
So Aberdeen are at home to Paisley this weekend? On Saturday.
Saturday, right. So Jagler's not going to be there.
No.
I wouldn't imagine, right? So the chances are it'll be two import goalies, unless they get an R goalie for some reason. But I would probably think then it'll be two import goalies. If it's me, I play Pulley. Because if Pulley doesn't play, they will mix it up, right?
Yeah.
They've got the guy that he's fought twice before, was it Pruksic or whatever his name is?
Aye, the big cunt.
And then they've got also Mitchell Hurd, right, who's an absolute fanny by all accounts, right? So I think Pouliot has to be there. And I'm sort of in agreement with you. I think it might be Robert that would miss out. However, and this might come to a surprise, it might be Kylie that misses it, right? Because he's just come back, right? He's just came back and he probably does need ice time, but I think we've got to manage his ice time, bringing him back.
I disagree.
Like you, I think it, if it's not one of the goalies, because I don't know who Mark's going to pick. As I say, if it was me, I'd pick Fisk, and I would take Sabo backing up then. I would probably think it'll be Alex Robert that'll miss it.
Yeah. I'd like to think it would be him. Out of all the imports we've got, and we are playing both import goalies and goalie to starter and backup, I would like to think it's Robert. No disrespect to him, though.
Situation we're in. An import has to miss out. And I'll tell you, if it is an import forward that has to drop out, the fucking import D-men are lucky, right? Because they are not setting the world on fire at the moment. And they could think themselves lucky if one of them doesn't miss out.
I am not saying anything.
Pulley should
play. We all know my views. We all know who I would be sitting out.
I'm the same. I'm exactly the same. But I do think it'll be a forward.
Louis disagrees, though. Louis loves him. It's Louis's favourite player this year. That's how he's... Call out this week. Call out. I just remembered. So, our future Stars captain, Louis Thompson, was playing a game last weekend. I believe it was. They were 2-0 down. Brought it back to 2-2. 7 minutes to go. 2-2. They lost 8-2. Louis, how the fuck do you lose 8-2?
He took a penalty, Junior.
And he took a penalty. You know what? That's not future Stars captain material, mate.
And I might actually say, right, that on the penalty, they either went 3-2 up or 4-2 up. Yeah.
Listen.
All Louis, I'm going to say is, Louis, listen, Louis.
We're not angry.
just disappointed.
Just disappointed, son. Just That's disappointed. So, my three players to look out for this weekend, because I did do a decent job last week. Bariga and JJ scored. Luciani scored two. Seitz scored. Talberg scored. Josh McDonald scored two for Cardiff. Sanford only got an assist. Another boy wasn't playing because he went back home for a family emergency. So my three players to watch out for Glasgow is Cole Ooley. So he has been lighting it up for them as of recent. 10 goals and 8 assists in his last 16 games. Tyson McClellan, 8+8 through 19 games. And I've went off here and I've went with Devin, and I don't know how he says it. I don't know if it's like cider or cidre. But Devin Sidorov is how I'm going to say it. And I hope it is wrong, because you can't count fucking syllables in your chants, you fannies. So,
yeah.
8 goals and 5 assists in 18 games. That is my top 3 players for the clan at the weekend. Hopefully they're not. And hopefully we can match them and better them. Senior.
And you know what? It'll be interesting about their goalie situation, because did the guy land in Bow, whatever, did he not get injured?
Don't know.
I think he did.
Well, listen,
because
he did. Because
Brian went in and won in Sheffield.
Yeah.
And I think Brian started against Guildford, so that could be interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard.
Score predictions.
Both games will be very, very difficult. I think we'll split the weekend. I think it'll be home wins for both teams. I think Glasgow will win. Okay, well, I'll go, Junior. I'm going to go 4-1, 4-1.
4-1, 4-1.
Aye.
So I went 5-2 Clan on the Saturday and 4-3 Stars on the Sunday. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at 4-3. I'm not going to predict overtime or shootout, because if we go overtime, I think we'll get
there. I'm hoping that Big Pooley smashes about 3 of them. And then does the same on Sunday.
Yeah, me too. Well, because we've flipped it, to round off this week's show, it is our MBE Valeting Services sponsor, Two-Way Watch. Wasn't a very good weekend for Aberdeen, unfortunately, for our two-way players. It was a very good weekend if you're a Dundee hockey fan in supporting the Rockets. So the Aberdeen Lynx lost by 5-1 against the Rockets in the Scottish Cup second leg, meaning the Rockets took it on aggregate by 8-5. Gary Kelly is back after injury. He played his first game back against the Rockets, gets pumped, unfortunately for him. Dom did play the whole game, unfortunately, exceeds 5. But again, I believe he was absolutely peppered with shots from that Rockets team. And obviously, he was back up the next night for Jarrett against the Devils. So the two-way watch there with Dom is that he played in one game in the SNL, fortunately got beat. But then was back up on the Sunday for the Stars, which was great to see as well. Aberdeen, obviously, at home on the Saturday. I think that's their only game that I'd seen. The Rockets have a double header this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, both against Edinburgh and the Kestrels. So Josh Saunders will go up against the Dundee Rockets at the weekend. So we'll see how he does and the Rockets do there as well. I'm just going to keep including the Rockets in my two-way watch when I want to, just because it's Dundee hockey. Why not?
They were.
But that was the only game at the weekend. There was no other SNL games, no cup games. They don't play, I think, Edinburgh and Kestrels play their second leg this weekend as well. Next weekend, sorry. That is Two Way Watch. And Senior, that is this week's show.
Well, there's a shout out.
Shout out.
A shout out. I bet you she's sitting listening and she's thought, oh, they've no mentioned it. Oh, I guess she'll get a big reader. It's Lara's birthday.
Oh, it's Lara's birthday on Sunday.
It's Lara's birthday. So she's probably sat all the way through this for nearly an hour thinking, the fuck, they've no said it. Well, guess what, pal? We'll have said it. It's your birthday on Sunday. And you never know. Things might happen. There might be things getting announced at the rink. And you never know. Why basically, we'll just rip the piss out of you.
Yeah. But it's your birthday on Sunday and we'll all be expecting cake. So
We won't all be expecting cake. I mean you'll be expecting cake.
Oh, sorry, we'll be expecting cake, yeah. So
not everybody. Sorry. Not everybody.
Sorry. Yeah.
And in saying that, we'd also like to say thanks to Mama Fit 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 for the fit cake.
The fit crunchy brownie, the crunchy fudge. Aye. Was delightful.
Aye.
And wee Jensen loved it as well because it was covered in his
He loved it. He loved that. It was outstanding, was it?
But anyway, we'll be expecting some cake. Mama Fit Fit, if you want to bring some more fudge, that'd be absolutely fabulous. It is Christmas after all. So we do like some wee Christmas gifts.
And it would be it would be good to see Abdi wearing their Stars Christmas jerseys. If they've got them.
I don't think I've got him.
I'll see if I could dig in it for you again.
No,
I don't know. Jersey, you'll fucking end up with.
Yeah,
I've got Hutches and I've got a JD in someplace in her.
Is JD? No, you never red. Got a boy in, did you?
No, JD's is red.
I do have a Christmas one somewhere. I'm sure I do. I'm sure I've got one with antlers on it. But that could be fucking any place.
I'll
try and look at it. But well, hopefully we'll see you all there with your Christmas jerseys, Christmas jumpers on, and hopefully get some nice wee Christmas points.
Wee sing song, Feliz Spencer Nass.
We'll see it. We'll see you at the rink on Sunday, and we will have a Christmas Eve special show next week. And we'll have a couple of guests for the return of Senior versus the fans. We'll see you all next week. Don't you know?